Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for daily editorial number 4 in a row. Lance, you made us feel guilty not doing this every day, so Jim and I are doing it every day. Jim is also going to be co-anchoring the weekend radio show. Jimmy, when you and I were talking off air today, you mentioned that this Pfizer thing in terms of quote-unquote approval really is kind of being misunderstood. What's going on, man?
So according to Alex Bernstein is a former New York Times writer. He's been following the entire COVID crisis rather significant, very responsibly, and providing a lot of information and data. And according to his and multiple other reports, including lawyers and legal analysis, the approval for the FDA authorization for Pfizer for a general use is actually somewhat misleading. According to the documentation, the filings for the approval for regular use actually are for a version of the Pfizer vaccine that is actually not in production and not available. They still kind of mixed, apparently, this is according to the reporting, they've mixed the approval with what can be done, but the stuff that is actually out there available for people to take is still under emergency use, and they've still kept in an indemnity against Pfizer from that. So there's some very questionable information out there available on this, or good information to follow up with on this actual FDA approval of Pfizer for regular vaccinations.
Yeah, I have to say that interestingly enough, our listeners, including Jerry, including Tony, including CFS, including virtually everybody, are retired endodontists. It looks like they're absolutely 100% correct. I'm going to be doing with you, Jim. We have a neighbor who maintains right now that vaccination had a major role, perhaps, in the death of his wife. I don't know if he wants to even talk about that, but he's pretty convinced of that. Anyway, having said that, I really don't know what to say. I know that Kathy left this world back on June 1st. Did the vaccination have anything to do with it? The last people I could ask would be the medical community, because they would not admit it if it did. So you guys, Tony, everybody else, Larry, you guys, food for thought. Keep it coming. Do not get discouraged, because information like this is something the world needs to know about it. And CNN sure as hell isn't going to talk about it. Jimmy, anything else you want to bring up?
So yeah, there was a bombing this morning outside the airport in Afghanistan, outside right. Kabul International Kia, and unfortunately it wounded 3 American soldiers. There are people, Americans, including apparently a school group with adult chaperones, that are stuck in Afghanistan, about 35 total people, that they can't get out from right. Southern California. There are numerous reports of Americans that are trapped and have no contact, and this administration is continuing with their 31 August departure date. This is going to be a disaster that continues to bleed for this administration as they try to manipulate and use the mainstream media and basically the Ministry of Propaganda and Truth in order to shift away from the crisis that they have created. The Taliban is not claiming responsibility, but again, they've done partnerships now with ISIS Khorasan Group, with Haqqani Network, and remnants of Al-Qaeda. And those people will be allowed to continue to operate in Afghanistan. They have an agenda. They have the idea of making a caliphate, and this is what we're going to face with this administration's absolutely disastrous decision for withdrawal.
Well, it is a questionable decision on my point, but I have to say that the whole Middle East, as you guys are aware, Larry, I'm not sure if you would agree with me on this, but you're a pretty bright guy. I'm sure that you would. and that is the Middle East is a quagmire. The French got beat out of there, the British got beat out of there, the Russians got beat out of there, and now we're going to get beat out of there. I don't know what's going to happen. I guess I'll have to stick to my guns, Jim, and I have to say I think Israel is going to solve it because they can't afford not to.
Well, I want to reiterate that Afghanistan is a long way from the Middle East, Central Asia, that it's a different problem. It actually is very focused on the problem with Pakistan and the extremist elements that operate in many areas along the Pakistani tribal areas. And the problem here is incredibly complicated. What we were able to do, what the U.S. was able to do, and this is why I'm, you know, a lot of people are very, you know, we had to get out. We did have to get out from combat operations. We did not have to get out from a security assistance perspective and to continue to support in behind the scenes in a way that would allow us to operate effectively against transnational terrorist organizations and still help the Afghan government continue to operate and function. With 2,500 people in Afghanistan over the last 18 months, we had zero American casualties. That could have continued on with still a pullout and basically from combat operations, but maintaining an embassy and maintaining a security assistance program, a large effort. In Turkey, we kept a security assistance program of over 3,000 soldiers and sailors and airmen after World War II for decades. In Germany, we remain with almost 30,000 troops in Europe. In Japan, we continue to have over 30,000 troops. We've got 28,000 troops in South Korea. We could continue this in a different function, although I do agree that combat operations and pulling out our combat forces was critical. We wanted to avoid the problem, but I think this is this decision, regardless of who would have taken it, if it would have been this way, is disastrous. And I think we're going to suffer in the long run. And I think, like in Iraq, Iraq and Syria, where ISIS grew to the size of Texas in a matter of 3 years, I will remind people, under the CENTCOM commander's guidance, Lloyd Austin at the time, the now SecDef, we ended up having to go back and destroy them. And we did it very rapidly.
Yeah, so, I want to say one. I want to say one thing, just as a matter of clarification. When I define the Middle East, I include areas where ISIS and the terrorists, other terrorist groups, for lack of better terms, are regaining control. I realize that Afghanistan and Pakistan basically is a hell of a lot closer to other countries than it is, for example, to Israel. But I still maintain that the problem is a Middle Eastern problem, in my opinion, and I think it all stems from the Balfour Declaration in the way earlier part of the last century. You got the final word, Jimmy. What's going on?
I just think that that the American people are beginning to realize that the media is attempting to protect this regime, and that they speak for them as a mouthpiece, and they're not actually the mainstream corporate media, and they're not working in the best interest of American citizens. And I think the more they understand that, the less trust they'll have, and the more likely that they're going to force transparency in things like election integrity. They're going to force an answering on a lot of the questions, especially as we combine the lies with Afghanistan with the lies with COVID. And I think we need to continue to push and pressure and keep talking. If they close our voices down, then we are in tyranny.
I agree with you, Jimmy, no question about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be back tomorrow unless something major happens later on today.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, Tom, for the second segment on the KE Report. I'm talking with an old friend of mine, not necessarily old in times of years, but I've known this gentleman for a very long time. He's a former government employee who left the government. He is a geologist. He was in charge of mining operations for the government for the state of Alaska when he was still working. Right now, he is a very active conservative, as everybody on our program is. He sends out information almost every day on what I would almost call, it's not a podcast, it's more of a direct mail list. A frequent contributor to our book club up here in Semiahmoo, and I want to ask him a couple of questions. Number one, why did you write a book, number one, and number two, what is the name exactly of your book?
Well, first off, Al, the reason I wrote this book is because I've been sitting here watching things go to pot here in the country for the last decade or so. And over the course of, 10 years, you know, we've been emailing back and forth to all of our conservative friends and seeing how things are going is slowly deteriorating in one direction, and that's downward. And so I found that I was writing a lot of emails and actually kind of storing some of them away. I printed out some of the larger ones and more important ones, threw them in my in basket. The next thing you knew, I had enough material to kind of put it together to make a book.
Right.
So I thought, well, what the heck? I'm gonna give my 2 cents worth to the political narrative. I went back as far as Obama because that's really the first. Solid indication that our country was falling right to hell apart, and it starts with the prologue of this book is a narrative about Obama and how he got in there, totally unknown, totally unvetted. We have great suspicions about his constitutional eligibility for being a president because of birth and all that. So that's how I got started in writing that, and then I ended up, later I had a stroke, and so I'm at the point where I can't do a whole lot physically, like going to meetings and really participating or, trying to get onto city councils, county councils, school boards, and stuff like that. I'm a little limited in my energy, but I can still write. So I figured I'd write this book and get it published and just put in my 2 cents worth.
And we're leaving out one very important fact, and that fact is the name of the book.
Oh, and the name of the book. The name of the book is Losing America, Our National Crisis of Legalities versus Justice. And there's a subtitle there that kind of indicates it's a lot of stuff's going on because we're stupid and too damn nice about some of our political policies. We're letting people into this country that shouldn't be here. We've done it for decades and generations, and now it's coming to a point. It's coming back to bite us in the ass, frankly, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it live daily. And we've now gotten a population, half of which is totally ignorant of and naive of politics, the Constitution, ethics, morals, and we're seeing that because these people vote, and they voted liberal, and they voted it enough that they put some idiot in office that shouldn't be there. Now, that indicates to me that we have half of the people, which is pretty significant, if there are enough of them to vote the way they did with Biden.
Yeah.
And it indicates to me that we have a massive failure of our educational system, because those people didn't just come up and all of a sudden vote socialist. They've been stewing in our educational system for decades and generations now, to the point where we are not just calling the Democrats aren't just Democrats. They're outright outspoken and publicly avowed socialists, and they're getting into office. And look, nobody would be in any office of any place at all unless they're voted into it. And that tells me the voters, not the people trying to get a good job, but the voters are totally ignorant politically, they're naive, or they're intentionally doing it because they think they would prefer socialism over our free market enterprise capitalism. And that's where it all comes from.
You know, you and I have had an awful lot of conversations in the past. I remember when you and I went up to Mount Baker to do a site visit of a mine that was proposed to go in up there, and it's about a two-hour drive. You and I were neighbors. It's about a two-hour drive each way from where you and I lived, and we had a long, long conversation going up and coming back, a total of 4 hours. You were a very active member of our book club for years and years and years. You're very...
Oh, and I loved it.
Yeah, I love it, too. I have to tell you, your concept about politics, and more importantly than just politics, your concept about societal, contemporary societal events is, I think, spot on. And the timing could not be better, quite frankly, for your book, in the sense that, look what's happening in Afghanistan. Do you realize that as of the wire services this morning, and you guys out there, we are recording this on Friday morning. The show is going to air, as you know, on the weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, depending on which of the 27 stations that carry our show, which area you live in. A super majority, as of this morning, of Americans do not approve whatsoever of the way that the executive office handled the situation in Afghanistan. Because of the fact that the executive office released names of Americans who remain in Afghanistan right now, names, addresses, etc., they may be hunted down and killed by the Taliban. How could a president of the United States do something like that? Ladies and gentlemen, you guys, Irish Tony, Jerry, if you want to get an autographed picture of this book, simply click on the link that I have posted along with this particular interview. Those of you listening on the radio, just go to our website and click on the link. I'll get you a copy of the book. Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in time for the second half of the KE Report. Big, 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 big weekend radio show coming up. A lot of things are happening, and I sure would like to get some opinions from station managers, from PDs, program directors, and from listeners. I have to believe that the Democratic Party right now is really, really in a situation of emergency. Let me give you my opinion first, and then let me turn it over to Jim McKinney, the expert. First of all, I watched Biden's speech last night twice, and I have to say, because I don't want to put people down if there's no reason to, the speech, I thought, was from the heart. I just don't think it was very effective. I have to say that events that have occurred since Biden's speech, which I thought was right on time, right what he had to do. But the events that have occurred have really shown, I would have to say, the mistakes that the Democrats are making. Mistake number one, giving a list with names and addresses of Americans and other people still in Afghanistan is a huge mistake. And I have to believe, I want Jim's comment on that, because I have to believe that that particular action is exactly why a supermajority of the polls, people who have been polled, don't approve of what's going on in Afghanistan. Jimmy, your comments?
At this point, the Biden administration is in absolute destructive crisis mode. They are publicly attempting to spin away from the reality that they have created on the ground. And I'll tell you, when here I have a different position on Biden's speech yesterday. Number one, he came out and said that they were going to hold ISIS accountable and we were going to bring all our power to bear. Well, let me tell you something. It's impossible to do that when you've removed all your capacity for intelligence collection, for targeting, and for military basing inside Afghanistan. He will not be able to identify that. Number two, the Taliban, somehow they negotiated. We do not know the specifics of it, but this administration has negotiated with them to somehow take over the government and the country. And apparently there's information out today that's coming out that they've been working with the Taliban and sharing intelligence. And I don't know if this is accurate or not, with the Taliban since April. Now, you've got just a month ago, Joe Biden standing up and saying to the American public and to all the world that the Taliban would not take over in, you know, a few weeks or actually a few months, that the government was strong. But then he actually contradicts himself and said that they were going to take over eventually, no matter what. Well, if they believe that, then why the heck weren't they doing something to protect Americans? And the third and the most important despicable part about it yesterday is he's pretending he cares. But the reality is, if he cared about American citizens and did his job as the President of the United States, he would have come up with a plan to ensure the evacuation of Americans. And he's going to leave Americans behind. And that, again, is another lie in less than a week old. From the beginning of the week to now, he's leaving Americans.
Let me just say one thing, Jimmy. I don't disagree with anything that you are saying. I was not speaking about the content of his speech. You know, blaming Trump, et cetera, that's just BS in my opinion. But I think that his body language and oftentimes the intonation in his voice indicated that he really, really cares. Now, why does he really...
Jimmy,
you're
going to... Go ahead.
You're going to appreciate what I'm about to say, trust me. And so is Irish Tony. He's going to cancel his plane ticket to come over here and burn my house down. Here's the deal. I think that last night when Biden delivered that speech, he realized how much damage had been done to the Democratic Party. I don't think there's any question about that. I think he truly realized that. And I have to wonder at this moment in time if the Democrats don't basically throw him under the bus, because I believe he realizes the mistakes that have been made. That's all.
Yeah, no, there's a high probability that he's going to be left out in the cold. I think there was probably a plan from the beginning to replace him at some point with Kamala Harris. I just don't think she has enough support and public support for them to let go right now.
I agree with you.
The fact that the most important issue for him is really how he stands and how he's looked at. I don't think it's really about he cares about American people, or he would have done something differently.
Okay. Okay, now let's talk about predictions as to what we think is going to happen in Afghanistan. We've got about 4 minutes left here before we have to take time for a commercial break. And what I would have to say is that my prediction, although common sense really hasn't ruled at all in the political environment in the United States, but my prediction is the Democrats because of their leader's response, some of his misstatements, etc., have not shot themselves in the foot. They've blown their goddamn foot off, in my opinion.
Oh, I think you're going to have to edit that out. But yeah, I will agree that they have really, really shot themselves right in the head with a double barrel shotgun.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. What is happening in the attempt to continually spin it, they're actually losing their own allies in CNN and some of the mainstream media outlets because they keep doubling down on mistakes and then continually lying to the American people. And I think that people, they believe that they can talk their way out of this, but they can't talk their way out of it. And that's the problem. My position on Afghanistan is this is going to get a heck of a lot worse before it gets better. When we're going to pull out in like a couple of days, apparently, still, and they're looking at other contingency issues, but they've cut this deal with the Taliban and somehow given all this equipment and actually finding resourcing and money, apparently, according to most reporting. There's actually video of cash, U.S. dollars, that the Taliban have, and some reporting of negotiations with the Taliban to pay to allow access into the airport for American citizens and others that are trying to escape. I don't think that's going to – the Taliban are laughing. The terrorist organizations are laughing. They're like, oh, these idiots are going to actually pay for us to increase our jihad. They are willing to blow themselves up to achieve their goals. This administration just thought that somehow these guys were going to be nice. And it was absolutely insane for them to go ahead and do that unless they had a nefarious idea, a more nefarious idea to bring the United States down. I mean, and I'm talking about our administration. And I pray that's not the case, but boy, does it look like it.
You know, you ever see the movie with Peter Sellers called The Mouse That Roared? The mouse,
yes.
The mouse in reality today are the terrorists. They represent the mouse. And I got to tell you, in terms of getting their way, I think that they're accomplishing that very, very effectively right now. Jim, we have exactly 1 minute left. Why don't you wrap up this segment?
So the Biden administration has attempted to blame the Trump administration. The Trump administration is the same organization that bombed Syria after reported chemical attacks, the same ones that went in and took ISIS out within a year after they took the size of Texas and had a couple billion dollars a week in revenues. They killed Soleimani. They went in and rescued hostages around all over the world in order to support America. These people that are making the claims that the Trump administration set this up are absolutely liars, and they're making false statements.
I'm going to put it one other way because I do have to take a commercial break here.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they are totally misdirected, in my opinion. I think some of the leaders actually are lying by not telling the entire truth. Going to be right back. Hey, welcome back. You know, I want to say one thing after we take a commercial break. Please do support people who live in the cities that have stations that carry our show. Please do support the sponsors. Please do support the stations. Jimmy, I'm not really sure what else we can say about other than perhaps negativity about the Democrats. But everybody knows how we feel at this point. I don't know how they're going to save themselves. So why don't we flip over to COVID? You've come up with some very interesting research on what's going on there. Go for it, bud.
Well, there is some, I think it all wraps together with trust and faith in our government and with this administration. So they're pushing the vaccines. But apparently, according to research, a number of research studies that have come out, the vaccine is ineffective, and it actually increases the viral load once you take it in some people, which actually potentially puts them in as super spreaders for a period of time. Because we've seen this significant increase in the cases of the Delta variant. Of course, we don't see the same commensurate in the death, in the number of mortality incidents. However, what we're seeing is a lot of information that's very questionable. And then again, the administration is trying to continue to double down on the vaccines when in fact there's a lot of questions about what's happening. And in fact, this FDA approval is very questionable in some of the sub-language in the approval, because Pfizer apparently is having two different versions, and the one that's been approved is actually not able to be, it's not produced yet. It's not, they don't have enough out there. So they're still using the other, and that's in the fine print that people don't understand. And again, that's undermining trust and faith in this administration.
Well, the only comment that I can make at this point is that there are many, many questions out there regarding COVID. I am convinced, based on the research that I have done, I'm convinced that this whole thing was started by mainland China, the Wuhan virus, I think it should be called. I disagree with sugarcoating it and say that it wasn't created by the Chinese. I think the Chinese did create it, but then I think it got totally out of hand. I am very, very personally involved, obviously, in COVID because of my wife, because of her death back on June 1st, and a close friend of mine in Simi Emmo, a guy who I play a lot of golf with, a guy who is going to occasionally do appearances on Jim's and my podcast and radio program. There is some issue with his wife that perhaps COVID had something to do with her death. She died just a couple of weeks after Kathy did. Did COVID officially have anything to do with my wife's death? Not officially. But when I have to say not officially, it didn't, but I have to wonder about it. That statement is worth about a million words. Don't you agree, Jim?
I do want to specifically reference this Oxford University Clinical Research Group that published this article on August 10th in The Lancet, which up until some false information came out last year on COVID, was a fairly well-respected medical journal. Right. This study is saying that the viral load from fully vaccinated people can increase 251 times the load in their nostrils compared to the unvaccinated, right, which makes them potential pre-symptomatic super spreaders. And we're seeing this phenomenon of, large number of growth, but Anthony Fauci is on camera last year saying the worst thing we can do is have a vaccine that actually increases the spreadability of a virus. And in fact, it may be information is coming out that that is exactly what's happened. And again, we've got an administration that's pushing the vaccinations and pushing these continued lockdowns and shutdowns, which is very detrimental to our mental health, to our economic health, to the nation's future, but most importantly, to our basic individual rights. And they are attempting to silence people that are pushing back against it, including research papers like this.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I agree 1,000% on something like that. Anyway, the history books are going to be very colorful in the not-too-distant future, in the sense that the United States is being tested very, very severely in two areas. Number one, it's being... I have to say, it's being tested in the area of moral values. It's being tested in the area of religious values. As all of you know, I am a very, very non-secular person. I also, in terms of when I talk about religious values, I mean moral values. Moral values include, among other things, not just sexual values, but they include values like telling the truth, being fiscally responsible, trying to make your living environment a better place, have pride of ownership is the way that I put it in my area, and that seems to be slipping. that is a test that has been given to the American people, in my opinion, by God, and I do not think that we're doing very well on that test in this particular opinion. Jimmy, I know that's a little personal. You don't have to agree with me, but you give a comment if you would.
No, I do think we're being tested. I think we're being tested as we always are as a nation. This may be the most challenging test America's faced since 1861 in the Civil War. There is an attempt by very powerful people that I believe are very focused on globalization and global elite financial media control. And I think they're pushing agendas at the detriment of the average person in America. And I think that is the way they have to do that is by undermining those basic principles that America is founded on, which is free speech, free thought, freedom of religion, your ability to have the faith that you wish and desire. And I think we're under tremendous pressure right now from very extreme groups. The crazies are running the asylum right now. We've got the extremists, and it's just crazy what's happening and how rapidly the United States is in serious trouble. So I have to agree. Yeah, something's got to change, and hopefully people will wake up to it. And if not, we're all in trouble.
Well, if people don't wake up to it, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking of the movie that Jack Nicholson starred in called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You know, he ended up because he would not commit, and commit is the wrong word, he would not convert his thinking, and guess what happened? He got a lobotomy. In a sense, is that kind of an interesting analogy to put as to what's happening to the American people, Jimmy?
I think both of us, you know, I do a live radio show I did on Monday here in our area, and callers, and we had, you know, a caller that came in and just absolutely could not accept the reality of what was happening on the ground. And we're seeing people, the extremists on the progressive left, that are yelling back and screaming, no, this is all Trump's fault in Afghanistan, and oh, the world's going to fall in because of you, because you're not wearing a mask or you're not vaccinated, it's all your fault. And there's some psychological instability out there with people, and I really do think we've got a lot of people that just have lost touch with reality, and I think it's driven a lot by corporate media in America right now. They're creating fear and they're intimidating people, and it's a sad state for America.
Jimmy, we've only got about basically 15 seconds left. So the live show that you did that took call-ins, the preponderance of call-ins were anti-McKinney philosophy. Is that correct?
No, just one caller. The rest of them were actually quite supportive. It wasn't my philosophy. It's just understanding the facts on the ground and reporting them.
Yeah, but I know what your philosophy is. And your philosophy is called understanding the facts. And
that's all right.
And the truth of reporting. Well, way to go on that radio show. That's great. I'm sure glad I'm not as... I'm going to edit that out. Well, way to go on that radio show, Jimmy. We got to put the word out as much as we possibly can. Ladies and gentlemen, one quick comment. I haven't had time in the last 48 hours to address all of the comments because I'm spending the majority of my time now trying to make this show program as accurate and as excellent as it possibly can be. We'll be back next week. Please join us.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.